Today we want to look at this thought. To be transformed into the image of Christ is to be governed daily by Christ-like love, because love harms no one. Think of that. Just think of that. If all the people around you really loved you the way the Bible teaches, they would never hurt you. All of God's commandments are covered by one commandment. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, be imitators of God. I mean, no, that's a tall order. Okay. That's the New King James Version, and it's very accurate. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love. If you want to imitate God, love people. Love God, love people, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us. Think of that, of what Christ has done for us. We're to love other people the way he has and does love us. We're told to imitate God by walking in love as Christ did. Christ loved us and gave himself for us. That should remove all selfishness from us, that we'll want to be a blessing, even in our family, that we'll really want to be a blessing to all of our family members. A lot of family members get selfish, and they want all the attention, and they want all the love, and they want all the blessing. If every one of us would begin to really walk in love and be sure we love the way we were supposed to, then everybody would be loved. Can you say amen? In Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 40, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus gave us an example of how to be a good neighbor. And I've always, well, there's a time I really wondered that myself. What is a good neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Your neighbor is everybody. And Jesus told this guy that asked the question, who is my neighbor? He told him how to be a good neighbor. He didn't tell him who his neighbor was. Therefore, everyone is his neighbor, and he's to treat everyone that way. Make me feel good. Okay. Don't turn on too much air and blow my hair, though. The three I got. Anyway, love your neighbor as yourself. You see, Jesus gave us an example of how to be a good neighbor. Hey, if we'd all do this, America would change on a dime. All crime would stop. All racism would be out the window. Now listen, here's the example. It's the Good Samaritan who found a Jew robbed. Now, I gave this last week, but I just want to review it just for a minute here. The Good Samaritan who found a Jew robbed, beaten, and left for dead. Now, then you have to understand they were basically enemies. Right. Racism at its worst, okay? The Good Samaritan who found a Jew robbed, beaten, and left for dead, Jesus said he went to him and bandaged his wounds, brought him into an inn, and took care of him. And he told the innkeeper, take care of him, and I will repay you. When I get back, I'll pay you. Then Jesus said, go and do likewise. He didn't tell him who his neighbor was. He says, this is the way you are to express Christ-like love, is by giving yourself to help others. It's called agape, self-giving love. Amen. You know, and you married folks, if you serve or love your wife like that, you're going to have a lot less problems. And people talk about some husband dominating their wife. I'm telling you right now, if you truly love her, you're going to be thinking of ways to bless her and help her. I found out after about 50 years of marriage that Dottie likes flowers, so recently I started buying her flowers. I'm a slow learner. But hopefully I was doing other things, you know. Normally I buy her candy, and then she'd tell me, quit buying that candy, because I'm eating it. So, anyway, you will start thinking of ways to bless people and help people when you really love them. And you'll quit complaining about yourself all the time. and you start getting focused on other people, and you start forgetting your own problems. And I don't have this down perfectly, so don't run back and ask Dottie, does that Barry always operate in love? Some of you people. But this is the way he treats his neighbor. You can really change your marriage, you can change your home, you can change your job, your career, your church, your nation, just by doing what Jesus told us to do. Imitate God, walk in love. He said, well, that's impossible. It is. For us in the natural, it is. But if Jesus Christ lives in us, he'll help us. And the fruit of the Spirit, the first one is love. So the Holy Spirit will start producing love in you and in me. Romans 13:8, it even says grow in love. And I realize I got a ways to go. But I feel like I'm at least got my foot in the door. At least I'm on the way. Romans 13:8, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandment, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there be any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You see that list he gave there all harms other people. It harms people. Love doesn't do that. Committing adultery with somebody's wife, somebody's daughter, somebody's husband, somebody's son, trying to murder somebody, kill somebody, trying to steal their stuff, telling lies on them, spreading gossip and slander, and coveting after their stuff and plotting ways to take their stuff. I'm telling you right now, love doesn't do that. That's why it says, and if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Good Samaritan. This is the theme of the New Testament. Verse 10, here it is. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Amen. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Racism or hate, which is the Bible word for it, does harm to people. Black and white, Hispanic. No matter what your race is, if somebody hates you because of your race, it's going to be harmful to you. The way we fulfill the law is by loving others. Why? Love does no harm to anyone. Breaking God's law always hurts someone. Love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. You want to fulfill the law, really love people, and you won't steal their stuff, you won't lie to them, you won't commit adultery with them, you won't do bad things that will harm them. Amen. You shall love your neighbor as yourself, because love does no harm. Now, good, now I know most of us down deep know that, but we need to be reminded. Sometimes we get into the flesh, the Holy Spirit in us is producing love, but sometimes that flesh gets selfish and self-centered, and if we're not careful, we start being jealous and resenting people. And that's where the Spirit man steps up and says, you're not going to act like that. Amen. Good things happen to those who love others and refuse hate. This is not a one-way street. When you really love others and help others, God bless you. Good things happen to those who love others and refuse hate. But hate will always produce curses. It'll come back as curses. You might say, well, I hate them. Well, hating them, if they know you hate them, they'll be excited because they know it will destroy you. That's the best thing your enemy can hope for, is that you will hate them because it will harm you. I'm not getting any amens on it, but amen, Pastor. Amen. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 15. And the Lord will take away from you. Listen to this. Sometimes we get focused on one thing and we miss the second thing. And the Lord will take away from you all sickness and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt which you have known, but will lay them on all those who hate you. It brings a curse. Hate brings a curse. He'll lay all of these diseases to come on the haters, but will lay them on all those who hate you. This is God will lay curses on those who hate us. People who hate other people may face the judgment of God just like the Egyptians did. So avoid those full of hate. America is full of people who just preach hate all the time. Hate between the races, hate between the rich and the poor, and just whipping up stuff that you almost never heard of. Hate, 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 hate. Those people are on the way to a devil's hell. If you want to join in with that crowd, you're going to go where they go. The road to heaven is very narrow, and there's no hate on it. John 8:44, and you don't have to believe this, because on Judgment Day, you will. You'll believe it then. I don't have to worry about my messages being true, because I know the day is coming when everyone's going to know they're true. John 8:44, you are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. See, when a person wants to preach hate all the time, they're doing the desires of Satan, which means they're a child of the devil. I don't care who they are, what the position is, or can they be a preacher in the pulpit. They're of the devil. You are of your father. I didn't say that. Pastor, how can you say stuff like that? I just read it. Is it on your screen? Okay, read it. Okay. You're of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father, the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. A lot of the secular humanist Marxists, even in our schools and universities, there's no truth in them. But everything they say is a lie. Whenever he speaks a lie, the devil, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. You need a preacher that has a nerve to warn you about these people, because they'll destroy your life, destroy your family, destroy your home, destroy your job, destroy your career, destroy your church. And there's preachers, just secular humanist Marxists. I'm amazed at some things some preachers say and do. People who hate and lie have the same father, the devil. The desire of Satan is that we hate each other. That's the way Marxists and communists always destroy a nation. They whip up hate between the races, whip up hate between the rich and the poor, whip up hate between the Christian, the religious people, and the ungodly, and just get everybody hating each other. Next thing you know, they're so weak, they just walk in, take over, and then all the people that disagree with them, they march them out in the dark and shoot them in the head, and that's the end of that. And I'm a history major. Don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. That's the way they took over Russia. That's the way they took over China. That's the way they taken over any nation that the communists have taken over. And that's exactly what they're doing right now. They don't care anything about race or anyone else. They just want to whip up hate. If you fall for it, then you're going to harm yourself. God calls a person that hates a murderer. Barry Coverson didn't do it. Jesus said it. And he says, no murder has eternal life. And don't allow Satan to fill your heart with hate for any reason. I don't care what your ex did to you. Let that thing go. Don't hate them. Can you say, praise the Lord, I don't care what your mom did to you. You can't hate her. I don't care what your dad did. You can't hate him. I don't care what your son did. You can't hate him. I don't care what your sister did. You can't hate her. Amen. Now, we looked at 1 John 3:15 last week. 1 John 3:15 says, anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. I want to remind you of that. God wants me to remind us of that. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. So if we have hate, God sees us as a murderer. And it says a murderer does not have eternal life in him. Love is opposite to hate. If we say we love God but destroy the reputation of a brother with slander, we are liars. Just hang on. It's going to get better here in a minute. And that is what but sometimes we just stop back and take a good long look at this, because the devil can sneak things in. And that is what we do when we call people by names without proofs. And some of you just, they just this and they're just that. And they act like a homosexual to me. That preacher, he acts like a weirdo. I mean, just start saying things. Love can't do that. And calling people a racist is really an ungodly thing today. It's mean. And if you hear someone saying somebody's a racist, you need to ask them for evidence. Well, where's your evidence? And when we hear people say this, we need to ask them, well, why do you believe that? Where's your proof? You see, calling people racist can destroy them because most Americans hate racism. It's just the truth. This works because racism is no longer accepted in America, and people wouldn't call others racist if it was accepted. It's not accepted, and it makes people mad when they think somebody's a racist. Either way, white or black, or Hispanic, or Asian. How many know racism is not just a sin of white people? You can hate people just because of their color. People get mad when they hear someone call a racist. They want to hurt them. You see, if we love God's people and put their interests first, then God will take care of our interests. Ruth was from a different race. I told you it's going to get better. How many know Ruth is nice? Ruth is nice. Ruth was from a different race, but she loved and served her Jewish mother-in-law. Ruth was a Moabite, and Naomi was a Jew race, but it didn't make any difference. And it should make no difference when it comes to loving each other. After their husbands died, you know, Naomi's husband died, which was Naomi's father-in-law, Ruth's father-in-law, because she was married to their son. And so Naomi's husband died, and Ruth's husband died. After their husbands died, Naomi said to Ruth, "You return to your Moabite family because I am going home to Israel." Now here is what Ruth said. And Ruth said in Ruth chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, "Urge me not to leave you or to turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God." She said, I don't care if you're a Jew. I love you anyway. They are two different races, Moabite and Jew. Where you die, she says, "Where you die, I will die, and there I'll be buried." So they moved to Israel, and Ruth worked in the fields to provide for her aging mother-in-law, Naomi. So Ruth became a good Samaritan to a Jew. That's what love does. It takes care of people, and then it doesn't reject people because of something as ridiculous as skin color. Can you say amen? In Ruth chapter 2, verse 10, Ruth meets Boaz, the richest man in town. And she said, "Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner? Since I am of a different race, why are you favoring me?" Now, in that day, of course, the farmers would go out and they would harvest their crops. And when they did so, they would drop some of the grain, the wheat, on the ground. And then poor people could come and harvest what they left behind. And so that's what Ruth was doing. That's the way she made a living for herself and for Naomi. She had worked the fields. And this young woman out there gathering up this grain and taking it home. And Boaz heard about her and noticed what she was doing. So he told the young men, he says, "Now, don't you harm that young woman. She's not one of us. She's a Moabite. But she's come to be one of us. And so you respect her, and you drop some extra wheat along the way so she'll have plenty." But Ruth, smart lady, she figured out what was going on. And she says, "Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner?" And so he was helping her and being good to her. And so Boaz said in verse 11, Boaz replied to her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me, and how you left your father and your mother and the land of your birth and came to a people that you did not previously know. Verse 12, may the Lord reward your work. See, when we really begin to love people, it produces rewards in our lives. God rewards us. And race has nothing to do with it. Our vacation Bible school, we ran that. We would got to where we average over 2,000 every year enrollment vacation Bible school. And probably the majority of those kids were black. And we were teaching them the Word of God, and we were bringing in food for them and loving them, taking care of them. And a lot of us surprised. But then God raised up a lot of black people here in the church who work by our side, and these kids could see black and white people looking, working together and serving God together, and they were just amazed. It's amazing what one church can really do if we really love people. May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord. You say, well, I've been helping people, blessing people, and nobody even notices. Nobody ever helps me. Let me read it again. Pay attention this time. May the Lord reward your work. I don't look for people that I bless to bless me. I found a long time ago, when I bless somebody, it's not very likely they're going to bless me back. I remember there was a kid in school. His parents had 12 kids. And they couldn't afford one or two, let alone 12. Okay. So he came to school every day without lunch. And I was a country boy, and I bagged it. Let me know what that means. It means I took a sack lunch to school every day, and I would split it with him. It wasn't all that great, but it was food. Okay. And so And that's almost every day. And my mom would give me a dime to buy a Coke or a pack of crackers or something if I wanted to. And you could back then buy, tells you how far I go back, a Coke for a nickel and a pack of crackers for a nickel. And I'd split that dime with him. And every time I got in a fight or got in a hassle, and I did quite often, he was always on their side. So I found out a long time ago, do not expect the people you help to reward you, but God will reward you. May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord. You see, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge, may he reward you. And you've come to seek refuge from God, and he will reward you. So this is the way to be blessed, is love people, bless people, help people, be a good Samaritan. Then she said, I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and indeed have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. You've been good to me, even though I'm different. Because she operated in love, God gave her one of the richest men in the county to be her husband, Boaz. It turned out that he was the kinsman redeemer, and he didn't know any of that, and she didn't know any of that, but God was working to make that happen, and she became his wife, and they had children. Also, through one of the kids they had, she became the great-grandmother to King David. So God included her in the lineage of King David and of Jesus Christ. Y'all paying attention? You never go wrong by being a good Samaritan. You never go wrong by loving people. And so she said, I'm different. Why are you favoring me? It was God favoring her through them. You see, I was thinking about white privilege. And the Lord said to me a few years ago, you do not need white privilege. You have God privilege. Think of that. How many of you have God privilege? You need to know you got it and expect it. If you have God privilege, just like Ruth did, she had God privilege. If you have God privilege, you do not need white privilege. I was really poor white trash, but I had God privilege, and God just raised me right up out of it. Amen. Ruth had God privilege. The minds of some of our young black people are being poisoned, our young black kids. You cannot be successful because of systemic racism or white privilege. This is a satanic lie because we have God privilege. Our black kids, man, we're teaching them this, and they're growing. They're doing great. They're getting good jobs, buying houses, all kinds of things, because they know God's on their side. Do not listen to liars and haters. Stay away from them. Their lies will make you think you cannot when you really can. You can make it. You can go to the top, just like Ruth did. But you got to be a good Samaritan. You can't walk around hating everybody. If a Moabite like Ruth can marry the richest Jewish man in town and become the great-grandmother of a Jewish king, you can do all things through Christ. Say amen. You can make it. Aim for the top. No person can hold you down, but hate can. And hate will. Love not only does no harm, but it does good. Love is opposite to hate. It builds people up. You see, there is absolutely no room for hate. White people experience racism too. Do you know that? A car driven by a black girl, this was many years ago, a car driven by a black girl almost ran over my oldest daughter, but she jumped out of the way. I was walking behind them. They're going in this big department store, and as my daughter's going across the street, the drive there in front of the store, this car come flying by, and she just my daughter jumped out of the way just in time. And the other two kids were with her, but I guess they're already on the sidewalk ahead of her. And as this girl drove by, she shouted, "I don't stop for white people." Almost killed my daughter. The one that was Miss Tennessee. The one that looks just like me. That's nasty. That's nasty. Listen to this. She tried to kill someone who loves and helps black people. I spent my whole life trying to bless black people. I worked in the projects in Louisville when I was in my 20s. I bust out hundreds of black kids, stuck in a youth cap, did all kinds of things for them. My children love black people. They grew up with Harry's kids in my backyard and in my house and in his house. And then this black girl tries to run over. What is that? That's just hate. I wouldn't even call it racism. That's just hate. A person will try to run over a white person will try to run over a black person. Because it's hate. Most black people who are raped and murdered by other black people. Most white people raped and murdered by other white people. So what is it? It's Satan. It's Satan. It's sure not love. If you're going to kill someone, kill the bad guy. On second thought, don't kill anybody. Okay. Here is the answer to hate. 1 John 3:16. We know love by this that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren and for our neighbor. We are not going to slander someone we're willing to die for. If we love someone, we will defend them. Amen. You better never say anything bad to me about Harry. There's nothing bad to say, but if you fight to come up with something, don't say it to me. Yay. Verse 17, but whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? So when we see people like that Jewish guy laying in the ditch, bleeding, yeah, how can we say we love God and love people when we will not help that guy? But he's a Jew. I'm not going to help him. He's a Samaritan. I'm going to help him. Sorry, that's not love. Verse 18, little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. What is that, Good Samaritan? A lot of people are quick to speak love, but true love is expressed in behavior, in deeds. Agape love is a commandment to always be there for each other. If somebody insults you, mean to you for whatever reason, and you can get away from them, just forgive them and let the thing go, knowing that vengeance is mine, I'll repay, saith the Lord. You're not letting them get away with it. You're just turning it over to God, and he will not let them get away with it. I used to think, like a lot of Christians, well, I just got to let everybody mistreat me. No, I don't. I tell God on them and watch God. Amen. I found a long time ago, that God can do to people what I would go to jail for. So turn it over to God and love them. No hate. He said, well, that's hard to do. Well, a lot of things God asks us to do is very hard, difficult, and impossible unless we really turn it over to God and let God help us and ask God to help us. God, help me to live by the word of God. And I sound like I'm there, but I'm still praying to God to help me get there. At least I know what I'm supposed to do. At least I know what I'm supposed to do. And with God's help, I can do it. Romans 12:9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. I don't care who's doing it. If it's evil, you're supposed to hate it. Love must be sincere. Hate what is good. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is... Devil, get out of here. He's trying to make me preach opposite. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. We are to hate sin, even though the world demands that we tolerate it. You can never say sin is wrong. You're a bigot if you say something is a sin. You know? We hate sin because it hurts people. It's that simple. Love does no harm. You see, we hate sin, and we hate sin because it hurts people, but we don't hate people. We pray for them to get saved and help us preach the gospel. Can you imagine the early church? I mean, Saul was trying to kill them. And they prayed for him, and God converted him, and he became their greatest preacher. And a lot of these secular humanist Marxists, if we'll pray for them, they could become God's greatest preachers. Not hate them, pray for them. Amen. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Honor one another. When you see a brother or sister out in public, do you get excited? And start waving? I have some people that respond that way to me. Not everybody. Love gives the first place in line to another. That's a good measure right there. W.L. Rogers, Bob's dad, he wasn't trying to be, but he became my mentor. I just mentor in ministry, and I just he took me on vacation with his family, me and Bob, just like I was one of his kids. And I remember one time we was in Oklahoma somewhere. And he pulled up to, I think it was a Shoney's, and he pulled up to this parking place and went in. Just as he pulled up and went in, this other car came up like it was going to go in. And I'm thinking, wow, we got the parking space. You know what he did? He backed out. He said, you can have it. I'm thinking, what's wrong with this preacher? What's that called? Love. Putting other people ahead of yourself. And he did that in almost everything. And yet he was blessed and highly favored. He was the head, not the tail, above only, not beneath. I mean, God blessed him because he put people first. And one reason I'm here today is he gave me a lot of opportunities I probably didn't deserve. I'm sure he put up with a lot from this old country boy. A lot of people would have put up with. Why? Love. Well, the 8 minutes have quit, so they weren't very good anyway. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. That's good advice from the Word of God. Verse 10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Love gives the first place in line to others. Verse 13, share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Be hospitable. Take people out for a cup of coffee. Buy them a sandwich or something. Love on people. Bless people. Romans chapter 15, verse 2, each of us should please his neighbor for his good to build him up. And I'll pray for you if you'll pray for me. And a lot of people assume, well, the preacher's got it down, and I must be a low-level Christian because I'm not living it the way the preacher preaches it. I'm not always living it the way I preach it, but it's still true where I live it or not. Can you say amen? But I am praying and making an effort to always love people and put people first. Normally when I go out to lunch to anybody, I try to buy their lunch no matter what. And a lot of people want to fight me over it, but that's in my heart what I want to do. I want to put other people first. And it's more than just trying to be a big shot and pay for everything. That has really began to get into my nature that I want to treat people special. And I sometimes forget. But here's what it says again. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good to build him up. That's all.